Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. So much going on today. Eric and I have to sit down with Bruce Arians this afternoon for his charity event. We have a good show on tap this morning. Bobby Dooley, Chief Operations Officer of Phoenix Rising FC. He's going to join us at 10:35. I was at a press conference yesterday afternoon for Rising FC. The MLS was in town yesterday, Major League Soccer, and we are a step closer to having an MLS franchise. I'm very pleased by this. I'm very excited about this. It was a packed press conference yesterday. Espo is going to come in studio because we are less than a week away from finding out the Suns' draft position in the lottery. Lottery is next Tuesday. Cannot wait. I have a business meeting at 3 o'clock. The lottery's at 5. I'm thinking I want to do something on the site, maybe go live and talk to you guys as it's progressing. I don't know. But I know that Espo is still on this, no, you cannot take Lonzo Ball if you're the Phoenix Suns. And I am on the space of, you've lost your mind if you don't think you take Lonzo Ball. You got to take Lonzo Ball. LeVar said something else yesterday. It was dumb. The moment that I get a Lonzo Ball sit down without anybody else around him, it just seems to me that wherever he goes, unless it's the Lakers, the dad is always going to be questioning what's going on. The dad will be a side story. Like I saw where Scott Bordeaux, great guy. Scott's a great guy. He's been in the Valley a long time at the Arizona Republic. Before that, the Tribune. Scott was named the new beat writer by the Republic for the Suns. Part of Scott's deal has got to be when LeVar Ball is at a game, if in fact the Suns draft Lonzo, you've got to go ask LeVar after the game is over, what did you think of your son's performance? Because he will fill up a notebook all day long. I'm done with him. I'm sick of him. I've been talking about Lonzo since November. But it's only going to amplify, guys, every day moving forward to the lottery. If the Suns do not get the first pick, if the Suns do not get the second pick, then there's no pressure on the Suns. We'll go a different direction. We'll talk about Lauri Markkanen or whomever. If the Suns get the first or second pick next Tuesday night, the world will be turned upside down. It's like for the next 6 weeks, we're just going to repeat the same show every day. There will be so much interest for the first time in years and years around the Suns because they finally will have had something happen to them on a positive light. Doesn't mean Devin Booker wasn't positive. It's just when he's on a team that doesn't make the playoffs, and even when he was drafted, there was not this overreaching, overarching, finally we've got it figured out. No, Devin Booker's turned into a star. It was a good draft pick by the Suns. I sit here and point out their inadequacies because this is completely unacceptable from an ownership standpoint. It just should never be like this in Phoenix. We should never be clowned on. We should never be used like LaMarcus Aldridge did on us. And then we turn around and put up a sign, welcome LaMarcus, and he's not even going to come here. That was ridiculous. There's just misstep after misstep. And so there's many Suns fans that are optimistic, yet there's those that say, as long as the owner is in place, things will never change. I don't believe that to be the case. Those of us that have been here longer than a nanosecond remember when the Cardinals had the same stigma. They did. And if anybody with the Cardinals disagrees with me on that, you're not living in reality. For years and years, they were looked at as the franchise that will never get it right. And things turn in that favor, and they've gotten things right pretty consistently, I'd say, in the last 10 years. They've had their ebbs and flows. Vegas doesn't believe in them this year. 8-win team, according to Vegas. And that may not make the playoffs. But we know that the franchise on the football end is not going to go in the dumper and disappear like this one has in basketball. It's just embarrassing. Lonzo Ball will do everything to put this franchise back on the map simply by being Lonzo Ball. The dad is the afterthought. The dad is not going to be in a kid's head when he's playing Milwaukee on a Tuesday night. But I think that's really the most interesting story going on in sports right now, other than Phoenix Rising here in the Valley. So the MLS was in town yesterday, and I'm going to talk further about that here in a few minutes. on why it was such a big deal, how we in our industry did a poor job yesterday of making it a big deal. Yeah, I'm going to get after our industry a little bit. I have my own opinions on that. And there are those that will just never give soccer a chance here. They just won't. They don't get it. They're the wrong demographic. They're older. They grew up in cities that didn't have it. And I grew up in a city that did in San Diego, didn't have MLS. My kids have all played it. It's not just a kid thing. And you, if you don't get it, it's funny. The guys that don't like it sure want to let you know they don't like it. It's kind of like if you say you're for Trump or you're against Trump. It just is. It's that way in sports. Like, you can say you're a Suns fan but not a Cardinals fan. You're not going to face the wrath. Yesterday, I live tweeted from being down at Rising with the MLS's number two guy in town. I got more guys saying, you know, get back to basketball, get back to football. Don't waste my time with the soccer thing. Well, that's not how it works with me. You know, it's not how it should work in this town. We're better than that. We're bigger than that. Kent Summers had a story about how the Cardinals met with Darryl Washington. I don't know if it was Steve Keim that met with Darryl Washington. I don't know that. I believe in what Kent reports. Kent's very good at what he does. I don't know who was in the meeting. I don't know if it was Michael. I don't know if it was Steve. I don't know if it was Bruce. But I do know that if he's reporting that they met, great. What does that mean? This isn't as simple as we all want it to be, so simple. Well, they've got to get it figured out. D-Wash. It's Darryl Washington. There's no nicknames when you do what you did. There's no nicknames. Don't waste my time. Don't waste your time with, oh, well, D-Wash is going to be. No, it's a guy named Darryl Washington. Nicknames are for close friends and guys that you really admire and that really play the game hard and play it well. He hadn't played. He let down the team. He let down the city. We are so quick to just move past this because we want him back in a uniform. I don't. I'm not saying he shouldn't be back. I'm not one to just say, oh, well, you got to clear him. They got to play him. No, you don't. Is this another con man? Another guy with problems that's trying to be rehabbed through sports? We have that happen way too much in this day and age. Guys that are very talented, but have got a personal life that's all jacked up. And the only way they can get their lives turned around, the redemption story, we like to say, is by putting them on a football team, putting them on a jersey or basketball court, and send them out on the field. Baseball is the same way. Josh Hamilton, there's many, many examples. So the fact that they met, fine. Knock yourself out. They turn around today, he's back. He's going to start in September. That's not going to happen. This is going to be a process. There will be a lot of, yeah, he's out here, and we'll see what he does, and he's got players that are pushing him. He's very far behind. We're going to hear all of that stuff around Darryl Washington. He'll be allowed to speak maybe the first time he's out on the field, and after that he'll be hands-off. You know, you can't talk to him. Or are they just going to turn him loose? Or is he going to have certain days of the week where he comes in and talks? We should be asked over and over and over, are you clean today? You got this figured out? There's a lot of fans that want to see you back on the field. So that's going on. Did you, Eric, did you see any San Antonio Houston last night?
Absolutely not. None of it. Not by choice. I was just out working.
You were working. Where'd you work?
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. You flew to Albuquerque or close to Albuquerque?
Man, felt like it.
Where were you?
Queen Creek High School in the far, far southeast valley.
And why would you go out there?
Because that's what we do. We cover spring football.
And you liked?
At the end of the spring football, at the end of the spring football season, finger quotes.
Yeah.
I should do a little Arizona State map of all the spring football places that I've been.
You sound like you're whining about this.
I'm not. I'm actually proud of myself. I mean, two in Tucson, Chaparral.
Where'd you go
Queen
in Tucson?
Creek. Canyon del Oro High School and South Point Catholic High School.
So you went to those two, and those are two football factories. So far up here, you've been to where? Spring football started a week and a half ago.
I've been to Hamilton, Brophy,
right.
Chaparral,
right. Football factories,
Pinnacle,
football factory,
and then those others that I mentioned.
Anything on the west side yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm trying to do the triple next week.
Where are you going?
I'm going to try to get to Verado, Desert Edge, and Buckeye all in one day.
That is...
But I don't know. I don't know if I can do it.
You know, so like, here's how it is with Eric and I. We've already looked ahead. The Pac-12 Football Media Day is at the end of July. We're going to be out at that. I've got some people that want us to go to the SEC Media Days, which are in Birmingham. I think it's Birmingham. Yeah, it's Birmingham. In this, like, the second week in July. And you're thinking, well, you're sitting here talking about this in the second week of May. Shouldn't you make your travel reservations? I don't know yet if we're going to go. I don't know. If I have people that step up and say, yeah, Brad, we want you to go, then we'll go.
It's 50-50.
I'd say, you know what? I'd give it a little bit better shot than that.
It's 60-40.
But, you know, as this business goes, some days it looks really good and some days it doesn't.
It's 40-60.
Yeah, not today. No, it's good. It's better than that. So, you know, anyways, we're working on some things. And, yeah, I did see some of the Diamondbacks last night. I'm worried that the spiral has started to happen. It's now 2-5 here in the month of May. And they really didn't put up a fight last night. Robbie Ray was all over the place. He walked 5, struck out 8. And they end up losing the Tigers. And they have Zach Godley going tonight. So got to get some help there. All right, on the other side, we're going to talk about Rising and the MLS being in town. I'm going to circle over to a Grand Canyon basketball story that I think there's some legs to, in my humble opinion, or I'd like to at least see legs given to them if they disagree. And the Michael Jordan LeVar Ball comment is circulating today. So, yeah, I got to get into that a little bit. Bobby Dooley, the chief operations officer of Rising FC, will be with us at 10:35. Espo in studio talking Suns at 10:50. I'm Brad Sismat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show tonight, Brad Sismat, Football AZ, on an hour before the Diamondbacks for a straight hour long, 5 and 5:30 tonight. And then afterwards, as well, very good feedback off our Spencer Rattler documentary. If you've not seen that, it is up on our website. A high school quarterback over at Pinnacle High that is going to play well beyond high school. I'm not going to go any further than that, but he will play beyond high school, barring injury. I just wonder on Spencer Rattler, do you think, Eric, he's going to be a kid that changes his mind and goes and becomes a basketball guy in the next couple of years? Because I think he said in the doc he prefers basketball, or he likes basketball.
He likes basketball, but he knows that he's going to be a quarterback at the next level.
What if he grows 4 inches?
He knows he's going to be a quarterback at the next level.
Have you been out to, you've been out to spring ball. How's he look at spring ball?
Big, bigger. Yeah. I saw his first game 2 years ago against Chandler, and he was a little runt. Now he's about 6'1 and a half, weighs about 185 pounds.
Yeah.
He's a talented kid, nice kid.
So there's a mini doc that's on the TV show tonight, and then the full documentary is up on our website. You can check that out. And a nice job by Danielle Lincecum. All right, let's go over to soccer here. I'm going to do a lot of soccer today because outside of Darryl Washington and Lonzo Ball, I think the soccer story is one that's really good. I'm going to get into some GCU here too in a bit. So yesterday, the MLS sent out their number 2 guy and their director of communications. They fly into Phoenix. What was most encouraging to me about yesterday with Rising FC was a couple things. First, they met over at the stadium site. They like the stadium site. They understand that's not going to be the permanent site. They like the facility area. I asked them directly about that. But they went over to ASU and they met with Rocky Harris. Rocky Harris is somebody that in town doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion, of being a connector. A lot of these franchises, they are very much about their own territory and their own turf and their own sponsors. And, you know, they may say they're interested in how the other teams are doing. But, you know, if you dig down deep enough, you'll always find somebody who says, yeah, if this team leaves or this team moves or if they get out of downtown or so on and so forth, it'll be a benefit to us. And, you know, the advertising dollar can only go so far. We need a new corporate sponsor and blah, 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 blah. Rocky's not one of those guys. Rocky will be an AD somewhere someday. He's got this title. I want to say it's like senior. It's not a Cotton Fitzsimmons title, senior executive vice president of nothing, but it's a long title and it's a good title. He's like Ray Anderson's number 2 guy over there. So Rocky's been in MLS and he was part of the meeting yesterday and they actually went over to ASU, they being Rising FC, the number 2 guy in the MLS. And the MLS staff, and they went over to Ray Anderson's office. There's some pictures of them together. I like the fact that Ray hasn't been involved in this. Ray wants to bring men's soccer here. It may not seem like a big deal to many of you, but it is surprising to me that in the climate that we're in, and as soccer grows in this state, that there is not a men's soccer program at Arizona State University. You have Grand Canyon University doing their thing, ASU trying to get there. The fact that that Rising is trying to connect dots around town is encouraging to me. I think their ownership group, we'll talk with Bobby Dooley, the chief operations officer, here in a bit. I think their ownership group has done a very good job here in the short period of time of going out, building a stadium, a pop-up stadium that looks like Camelot. Eric and I were over there like right before the stadium was even opened up, and was just amazed at what they've done. It's gotten better and better. I've been to 3 home matches. Each experience has gotten better and better. They're going through the rough period. They're going through the rough time. Their very first game, I'm standing with several of the owners, and these are guys that are all well-intentioned. I've seen that happen before over and over in sports. They have money in their businesses that they're in. I've seen that happen over and over in sports. What I have seen happen over and over in sports is just because you have money and you have business acumen doesn't equate to you can be a good sports owner. Most times, these owners become caught up in their other businesses, and they may be wildly successful at that. I don't know. Look at what's happened to the Suns. It's a great bank that Robert's got. What's a product exactly on the floor look like? It's not good at all. And it's not been good for a long time. It's been neglected. Now he's got a building situation coming up. So there's all these things around one of our pro sports franchises that's not good. But I turned to these owners on opening night and said, guys, I don't have this all figured out, but I've been doing this a long time. This is as good as it gets. Make sure that in your top desk drawer, you have a sheet of paper. And on that sheet of paper, it has 5 names that could be your next head coach and your next general manager, because you just never know. And what happened 3-4 weeks later? Head coach, bye, gone, see ya. Opening night, yeah, there were the issues of getting people into park, and there were some issues of getting the stadium going. But guess what? They've worked through that. I feel like the staff that they have there in place is competent enough to get this done. That may seem like a swipe, but I've come across teams that don't have the staff in place or don't have the competency or have the roadblock or just have guys that like having nice titles or want to tell everybody that they're a sports owner. And that usually goes by the wayside. I don't know. Maybe it was a bad thing that I had to cover Donald Sterling when I was 19. Maybe it was a bad thing for me to experience that total disaster and see bad ownership after bad ownership after bad ownership. And rather than sit there and just, you know, no, we have to, this is our job. These people are incompetent. So I've sat here and pointed that out through the years. It's fine. I think this group is competent. I think this group is very good at what they're doing. I think there's depth to this group in certain areas. They're staying within their own lanes and trying to build this up. You can't overthink this on one hand. On the other hand, if all you have is a bunch of dudes that have decimal points, it's not going to equate to having a well-run business. Even if they run businesses well in their other parts, sports is just different. You got to be able to have an owner that can handle a 6-game losing streak, or a player that gets popped at 2 o'clock in the morning because he or she is out doing something that they shouldn't do. You have to expect the call in the middle of the night, because that happens. How do I know this? Talk to enough owners. Talk to enough presidents. Talk to enough former owners and presidents that said, man, I never knew what I was getting myself into. What a money pit that was. I should have gotten out of it sooner. What a nightmare that was. I should have got out of it sooner. I haven't sensed that from this ownership group. I'm sure there's frustrations in trying to get things all done in such a short period of time. I'm sitting there yesterday after the press conference is over. I'm in my car answering a couple texts, start to pull out. And I notice alongside of the building that the press conference was held at, that out front are 4 of the owners. 4 of the owners, and they're standing there right alongside a Camelback. It's actually 5 because Didier Drogba comes over. He's player owner. Understand this. Didier Drogba is like one of the biggest names worldwide. But in Phoenix, Arizona, he's just standing there as an owner. And it was, I took a quick picture. It's a cool picture of them having fun. Today was, yesterday was a day to celebrate. It really was. To enjoy the process. I'm seeing them enjoy the process. I don't see guys grinding away. Like the MLS is standing at the press conference yesterday and nobody's asking them what needs to be asked. I think everybody was thinking they're just going to say, oh, this is great. We're going to bring a franchise. No, that's not how it works. It's, this is a top 10 television market. Tell me about the advantage of adding Phoenix to that, MLS. What does it mean to have this guy sitting here, Didier Drogba, to Phoenix's push of trying to get MLS here? What did you think of the layout and the experience here in Phoenix? And of course, they're not going to say it sucks, but at least now it's on the... What do you think of this ownership group? I didn't get any hesitation. I didn't get anybody searching for words yesterday. You know, that we're saying, you know, this is not the best group or the most competent group. What do we have that others don't? What do others have that we don't? I say we because I was this way about hockey coming here. I was this way about baseball coming here. When there's a chance to have a major sport come here, I am going to be a cheerleader for us, unless I sit here and look at it and say, there's no way this group's going to work. I felt Kyle Ng had the best push at the time. He took it about as far as he could. Burke Bakai has come in, brought in a lot of people around him. And now they're able to take it to an even bigger level. And I think they're going to get it there. I really do. And if I can be someone who sits there yesterday and say it's great to see the process, I would be surprised in December, as I'm sitting here today, I would be surprised if MLS passed on them. My initial conversations with people gave me the impression Phoenix was going to get passed on this first round. And when they expand again in 2020, they would come on board. I don't see how MLS can overlook the television market. That's a huge deal. I don't see how MLS can overlook the ownership group put together. Don't see how the MLS can overlook Drogba being here. I don't see how they can just say, we're going to push this back for 3 years. I really believe now, after yesterday, and talking to some people, not even with the ownership group, some business side people, that is going to happen here in December. And it just is. We'll talk further with Bobby Dooley, Chief Operations Officer of Rising FC, on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Appreciate the partnership with AZ Central Sports. They carry our show every day. Tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. 17 airings a week on Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate the partnership with them. We're up to 68 airings per month with great reach on DirecTV on Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate that. Bobby Dooley joins us now, Chief Operations Officer with Phoenix Rising FC. I saw Bobby yesterday smiling ear to ear as the Deputy Commissioner Mark Abbott of the MLS was in the Valley for the tour yesterday. How do you feel about it a day later? How do you feel about everything?
Well, first off, good morning, Brad. How you doing?
Good.
I feel great. It was a great day. It was an opportunity for us as a market to showcase, you know, the accomplishments we've achieved in the last 8 months since the ownership change and our pop-up stadium that we built in 52 days and get a chance to meet some community leaders and meet some of our supporters and really see that see the market firsthand. And as the commissioner, deputy commissioner stated, it's easy to see it on the paper how great of a market is, but it really takes a visit and a sit down with our ownership group and with community leaders to really get an understanding how this market's positioned to be, you know, one of the two franchises selected for MLS expansion.
Okay, so they're getting off the plane at Sky Harbor. They're driving over to meet with you guys. What do you think is going through their mind that they needed to get answered yesterday that you think you as a group answered for them yesterday?
Absolutely. They've been pretty clear with their criteria. And I think we've all known that one of the major criteria is how can a market, you know, help MLS achieve their national objectives and can the market be successful? And then those two things. And I think, you know, from a market standpoint, This market has a huge appetite for mega events and does it very well. Has other major pro sports out here, you know, the golf tournaments, the races out of PIR, NCAA events. So they know that the market's here, and you look at international soccer exhibitions that are drawing 60,000 plus a game. And then you start rifling off some statistics for the market out of the 12 entries applying for a potential franchise, we have the largest population. We have the largest population under 45, the largest population of Hispanics. We're right there at the top with Tampa from a market from a media market size. So market-wise, they know it's a great opportunity, and it can really help achieve some of the league objectives. What they didn't know, and they've only seen from afar, and they've seen the success we've had and the four capacity crowds we've had thus far, it was a chance for them to see the site. And we were very excited for them to see the location and let them walk the property and see, again, how much we've accomplished in a short amount of time, but see where it's at in the valley. And with the number of cars passing by, 300,000 cars a day on the freeways, the 101 and 202, the proximity to the largest public university here in the country at Arizona State, and every flight over the top of our stadium flying in and out as we were staying out there. It was great for them to experience that and then really get a chance to spend a few hours with our ownership group and hear our vision and hear our excitement about this opportunity and represent this market and our fans that rightfully so deserve an MLS franchise. So it was a good chance for us to get to know each other better and sit down and see the group that could potentially be joining MLS here in the relatively near future.
I was really surprised Mark Abbott hadn't been out here. And what did he say, Bobby, 15 years, 13 years, something like that? He hasn't been out here in a long time.
12, 13 years. So, it was exciting for us. And we really fill a void in the national footprint for them and North American footprint, for that matter, with three teams in Canada. There's no team within 300 miles of us. So MLS is big on, rivalries. And, of course, as you know, Brad, you're very familiar with the rivalries between, Phoenix and L.A. and Dodgers and Suns and Lakers. So and then just from a media standpoint, we can really, kind of galvanize this entire region, the state of Arizona, New Mexico, parts of Nevada, even parts of Southern California. So we were excited about where we're at from a market standpoint. And yeah, he actually walked that property, 12, 13 years ago. And he was amazed to see that the progress remade in a short amount of time and amazed that nothing else had been going up there. So he was excited that's where we, essentially planted our flag in the ground. And he was very impressed with the location.
Bobby Dooley with us, Chief Operations Officer for Rising FC. After yesterday, the MLS President, Deputy Commissioner Mark Abbott and his team were in the Valley. An update on where things stand. Didier Drogba sitting up there at the press conference yesterday. You can't have a bigger hammer than that, in my opinion. And, and I asked the commissioner about that, having Didier sitting up there. I'm curious how the day progressed, Bobby. Was Drogba a part of a lot of the walkthroughs, walk-arounds? And if so, how did the MLS interact with him? And what do you think it means to have Didier part of this ownership group to the MLS?
Absolutely. Didier, from the day he's arrived and even prior to his arrival, he has played a big part. Clearly on the field, he's going to he's working his fitness right now and improving every day to get out in the field and help the boys. But off the field, he has been fantastic in the boardroom. He brings a tremendous amount of knowledge and information and relationships and, of course, experience that he can draw upon. And he joined us right after training yesterday. We had a chance for all the boys to meet the deputy commissioner out there at our site there on the 101 and 202. And then Didier joined us for the rest of the afternoon and into the early evening. And they're very impressed that a guy like Didier, and it says a lot for someone of his magnitude to join us. And they ask a lot of good questions, and they know what Didier would bring to Major League Soccer. They experienced it firsthand when he was up in Montreal. So they're very excited about the prospect of having Didier back in the league. And, again, his knowledge and relationships and, experience of building youth academies in Africa His experience in the English Premier League. It's a very valuable asset that we have on our side and our application to have someone like Didier to join the conversation.
Did he act as an owner or does he act as a player? You know what I mean by that. I've seen former players transition out and they try to be comfortable in an ownership role when they're still a player. Did you see him kind of transform from one to the other as the day progressed?
He's a very impressive individual. He can wear his player hat. He can wear his owner hat. He can wear a lot of different hats, his public relations hat. And, you could see that progression. He has a vision, he sees the same vision we have. He sees a great opportunity. Didier had a lot of opportunities, whether it was down in South America, over in Europe, in Asia, other parts of North America. And he really believes in this opportunity. And for him to share that belief and the reasons why he believes that this market is ripe for a Major League Soccer franchise, and not only a Major League Soccer franchise, but a Major League Soccer franchise that's at the top of the table year in and year out, and really build a culture and identity based on some things that he's experienced at the various clubs he's been throughout his career. You saw him. He shared the vision. He shared his experiences from, you know, owners in the English Premier League to, you know, coaching staff and players in that experience. So he was able to bounce back and forth and answer questions about, you know, league-related stuff, questions that they had on how they could improve the MLS and things that he saw from an ownership side. So it was really neat to see and engage with MLS and Didier yesterday.
A couple other questions. I'll let you go. Appreciate your time. Bobby Dooley, Chief Operations Officer for Rising FC. I liked yesterday hearing and seeing Rocky, and who I think does a great job at ASU, Rocky Harris and Ray Anderson being involved in the process. I know Ray's got a passion for men's soccer at some point at ASU. I also think Salt River Pima and the job that they did in being involved yesterday, too. From an outside spot of me looking in on the inside, I don't see any spots where I'm saying, boy, there's a weakness going on here in your guys' pursuit. You all seem like you're in your own lanes. You're doing everything that needs to be done. I'm just curious, Bobby, I initially heard, probably the second round. You don't know for sure if you're going to get it or not. But I think based off what's gone on the last 3 months and yesterday, it would not surprise me to see them add you. And in fact, I think they should add you earlier. Yeah, I'm sitting here in Phoenix. Do you get a sense that maybe you guys move the needle with them enough that it is expected to be added at the end of this year?
Yeah, we can only control what we can control. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we've accomplished a lot, and we have a lot of room for growth. We know that. But it was an opportunity yesterday for them to see firsthand, you know, the fact that, you know, Deputy Commissioner Mark Abbott stated up there that he hasn't seen a facility like ours, you know, pay attention to the detail, pop up in 52 days is unprecedented. It's good to hear that kind of stuff. And he saw that, you know, where we came from, moving dirt so quickly. And then on top of that, the support of our fans. That's the biggest thing that we love. And we're doing this for the state of Arizona, for the region. You know, there's no telling where we really stand in the hierarchy, but I think that our application, our plan, our partners, our community leaders that are behind us and our fans that are supporting us day in and day out, I think we have an extremely strong application, we're positioning ourselves, and we got to continue. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. We got to continue to get the fans out and support us and put a good product on the field and work with our partners and work with the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community, who have been absolutely fantastic in this process and extremely motivated to build and bring an MLS franchise here. And then great individuals such as Ray and Rocky over at Arizona State are 100% behind this and very supportive and could serve as a bridge. And that was, you know, one of the objectives of sitting down with Ray and Rocky yesterday and MLS execs was to showcase what they have. I mean, as you know, they're making a lot of improvements to the facility, making it one of the top facilities in the country. And to have that, you know, a couple miles from our facility and the relationship with their students and, you know, the international students, there's a lot of synergies with what we're doing and trying to accomplish and what ASU is doing and building and increasing the number of NCAA sports and adding programs. We want to help that. We truly want to be a pipeline all the way from the youngest of ages up to, you know, an opportunity, whether that's for kids to achieve a soccer scholarship from Arizona State or GCU or another program here in the country or in the state, to go professional And, you know, it's a really great opportunity having guys like Ray with his experience in multiple sports and NFL and his relationships and speak and support our application and our efforts.
Before I let you go, there was a question. I had a bunch of questions yesterday from fans that sent in. They've been hearing about an academy. And would the academy be on the location of the big stadium to be built, or are you looking around the valley for a location for that academy?
It's a really good question. As you know, we have a lot of property out there at the 101 and 202, and our preference is to have, you know, one home for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's really good, I think, for the identity and the culture of a club, for the youngsters to be able to sit in and see, you know, whether it's a 12-year-old seeing a 14-year-old training session or the 18-year-old seeing the pro team train. And that way it's a good balance. You could drop 16-year-old kids in the older kids training and really develop and have that same skill set that you're looking for and that same philosophy from the youngest of ages up to the professional level. So our preference is to do that at the same location. And we're looking at a lot of different things. There's, you know, a development academy for us is something that we're taking very serious. It's very important to us as an organization to develop kids in the state of Arizona and give them an opportunity to grow and build and learn a skill set that could take them far in life, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch. And we want to really establish that culture and identity. So we're going through a few different opportunities and, you know, looking at the best way to attract kids and have the infrastructure in place. Right now we have infrastructure in place with the practice field and the stadium field for our professional team. So we're certainly looking at plans to expand so that we can begin a development academy and start representing and competing across the country.
All right. I'll let you go. I ran out of time here. I got dozens of questions yesterday and last night, but that was the most commonly asked. I appreciate your time and insight, Bobby. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
It's Bobby Dooley, Chief Operations Officer, Phoenix Rising FC. Good stuff. Espo is next in studio. We're going to brawl over Lonzo Ball. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's turn our attention now. Draft day 6 days away from the solar panel. Espo, in studio.
I didn't realize we were going formal today. I forgot my tie. So.
What are you talking about? This is my Lonzo Ball welcome look. I'm getting myself ready. It's got my Bruin colors.
You're going to be waiting a long time to
Bruin
welcome him.
My Bruin colors.
You heading over to the Lakers there?
Here's the thing. Okay, so the lottery is next Tuesday. They're going to... You don't think they're going to get a one or two?
No, I think they're going to wind up four or five.
Why do you think that?
Well, basketball gods hate Phoenix. That's part of it. Okay. Basketball karma, you tank like that.
You're such a fatalist.
Hey, I prefer catastrophizer, but however you want to go with it, I'm fine with it. Think about it. If everybody always says the NBA is rigged, if the NBA draft lottery is rigged, there's no way that Adam Silver would reward the Suns for what they did and the way that they
blatantly tanked.
What
about the Lakers? They tanked too.
No, they won down the stretch. The reason that the Suns wound up with a two is because the Lakers actually won games while the Suns packed it in.
The Lakers just ran into some inferior products. Come on.
Did you look at some of the teams the Suns were playing?
These are guys that played hard down the stretch. There's no such thing as tanking in the NBA.
There's no such thing. No, we just shut down like a third of our roster.
They were hurt. You don't want to get Eric Bledsoe hurt again. Tyson Chandler had an achy back. This is all legit.
The only thing that was hurt with those guys was bruised egos because the team told them they weren't going to play.
All right, Espo, of course, worked for the Suns, bleeds purple and orange, is on the mindset with his solar panel that he's going to solve the problems. Okay, solve the problems. Now, you really believe they're going to pick fifth, and in that scenario, they would take.
I have no clue who they'd take.
I would take Lauri Markkanen.
I think you could go that route.
I would take Lauri Markkanen, and I know people say, well, they already have Chris. Chris gets fouls all the time. He makes some nice dunks. I don't know if he's going to work out.
There's nobody.
Markkanen is Porzingis.
Yeah, there's nobody on the roster outside of Booker that you go, this guy's the answer at the position. Right now, you're still trying to figure out what the heck this roster is and what your future is.
So if they pick one or two, let's just go through this.
Yes.
If they pick one or two, do they absolutely keep the pick? So I'm going to go down Porzingis here on you. Porzingis tweets out Clippers. Now, he was hacked. Of course he was. That's like the biggest excuse ever. And he's not been happy back there. I'm saying that if the Suns were in a position to go after Porzingis. Now, the Knicks fans will say that will never happen. These are the stinking Knicks. Okay,
it's Phil Jackson, he would do it.
All right, all right. If Lonzo Ball is sitting there at number one and you have the number one pick and you could get an established star veteran player versus the college stud guard, do you trade the pick?
In a heartbeat. I don't even think about it. If the Knicks pick up the phone and say, one for Porzingis, I do it in a heartbeat.
Okay, so you don't keep Ball, even though, you can't debate me on this one. Lonzo Ball gets drafted here, it immediately puts interest into a franchise that has had no interest.
It's not the
interest
you want.
No TV ratings. And they bring a talented star player. This is a once in every 10-year player. This is Magic. This is Bird. Yeah, the dad's selling shoes at a high price. So what? What does that have to do with anything? We haven't even heard from the kid. And you're willing to just check off because of a dad who's nuts?
Yes. Okay.
Was Amari's mom a little over the top?
Was Amari's mom running Amari's business, and was she tied to his money like that? No, it's not like
she had the notepad. Oh, you're Greg Esposito. She walked around with this.
She could.
You know that.
There's plenty of crazy in the world, but when you tie family and business together, and we're talking shoe deals, and he's pissed off a bunch of the people that are in charge of Nike and all these things. Yes.
Well, who cares about Nike? Who cares?
The business side of it is where the problem is, because now LaVar Ball is controlling the money for Lonzo. And if Lonzo were this great player, this great leader, at some point you have to grow up and tell your parents, this is my life. You gotta go Billy Joel on him and say, this is my life, and I don't want you to be involved in it.
We have never heard from Lonzo.
That's the problem.
If Lonzo comes out tomorrow and says, my dad is my dad and he's blood, but I am my own man.
And
then you take him?
If he tries to and he says he will no longer be running my business operations, then yeah.
What does that matter?
I take him.
Maverick Carter was LeBron James' high school buddy and he runs business. LeBron's his own guy.
Yeah,
I don't
but
see
he
it.
Didn't he didn't make these waves. And look, this is
the
different.
Dad. It's not LeBron.
This is different. That was Cleveland drafting the hometown kid that had the talent of Michael Jordan. This is Lonzo Ball, who I think
As a basketball player, do you like his game? Can he play?
I have problems with his shot. He's a great passer. I worry, is he a slightly better version of Kendall Marshall, potentially? A guy who's really good at passing.
Wow.
Really good at assists.
Seriously, Kendall Marshall?
Do you remember Kendall?
He was hurt.
But I just
in the Kentucky game, Lonzo Ball was. Kendall Marshall was a stiff.
Kendall Marshall coming out, everybody thought was one of the great
pick.
One of the great potential passers coming out of that draft. I don't think it will go that badly, but I think there is a high ceiling for Lonzo Ball and a low floor for him too, where things could go off the rails. And you talk about interest.
Yes.
Markieff Morris and Marcus Morris created unique interest here from
that was
craziness.
PR interest. That was PR.
That's what you're going to get with Lonzo.
No,
because
Lonzo
LaVar
shows up and immediately Alonzo shows up, he immediately puts this organization in a completely different space, Greg.
No, he doesn't. Markelle Fultz potentially does that.
Markelle Fultz, just a guy out of Washington.
Do you remember for years, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus was always there during the draft?
Yes,
this
they
year
would
they
chase
won't
us
be.
Out.
They won't be there this year because they've closed business.
Yes.
But if you draft Lonzo, the circus comes to town and it ain't leaving. It'll be here for
at
least the next 4 years.
It's just the dad.
And the dad becomes a major issue when he doesn't agree with something that Ryan McDonough or Earl Watson does.
I agree with you on that. But again, it's, are you going to do this? Are you going to do this?
I've dealt with enough
family.
Hear no evil,
see no evil.
No, we've dealt with enough family issues.
Okay, so let's go through this. Robert Sarver is all about sexy. Robert Sarver likes to have... he likes his courtside seats. When he first bought the team and there were models and supermodels that were showing up and everybody likes to show their bling. That's Robert.
So many jokes that I'm just going
to
leave alone.
I know, me too. And I'm not even trying to use them. But because of that, because he likes to be his own guy, okay? The guy that's being slingshot down into the trash cans. We'll never forget it. that's why I look at what's going on with Lonzo, and Robert's that guy. He's that owner that says, I can handle this.
Yeah, it doesn't make it right, though. Do we really want to follow what Robert Sarver thinks he can do? Because we've seen that in the
past. Let's take you and I out of this. Do you think they're split down there on this?
To be honest, I don't know. I think probably
they
are.
The people that you know.
Because if you look at a basket, they're big board based just on talent and not the exercise. Yeah. I'm sure they are.
With the owner wanting him.
Oh, well, of course. We all know that as much as Robert Sarver will tell you he's not involved in things, he is involved in things.
He has
a seat at the table. Yes. And he's going to have influence on where they draft.
We agree.
I don't see how when you have one shot to impact the next 5 to 10 years
assuming,
of your franchise.
Assuming they get a one or two.
This is true. Based on...
You could have another Alex Len if you're sitting there at five.
That's true. I think if you have one, two, or three, you have the potential to define the next 5 to 10 years of your franchise. Do you really take a wild card and a chance on Lonzo and his family when you've put so much stock into building good culture around here and feeling that that's the way that you're going to lead into the future?
And what has good culture gotten them? Nothing.
Well, they've
zero.
Actually, but they've turned, I think they've turned a corner
These
over the last 2 years.
These playoffs are so bad. What have they turned the corner on? They're still horrible.
They don't
make the playoffs.
But they went from total dysfunction to where you can actually see a path to a brighter future, which is something that you were not able over the last... Devin Booker, they've got Bender and Chris.
Bender didn't do anything. Chris gets in foul trouble.
But there's potential there. When you look at...
Potential gets coaches fired.
What Lance Blanks did, and then the crater that he caused in this franchise, the fact that he emptied the cupboard so bare that they had no path to a future...
What's he doing now?
God, if I know. I think he's a broadcaster for University of Texas again, honestly.
Right? Right?
But he's probably still getting paid by Robert Sarver somehow, too, after being let go. They probably he left such a crater that they had to dig back to ground zero. They're finally there. They have a foundation for a future. You don't screw that up by drafting a guy whose family could have a huge impact.
Don't you think that if they get one or two, this will be a lot of fun?
Oh, it'll be great.
It's already fun.
It'll be great from May 16th till draft day, and then you're going to have to deal with whatever the ramification is after that.
The angst and the anxiety, if they get one or two, will be unlike anything else.
But we've both been around the Suns for long enough that we know that's not going to happen.
You just think it's rigged.
The reality of it is it's not going to happen, and if they wind up with two and they draft Lonzo Ball, it's Armen Gilliam again.
Wow. All right. So you have a new solar panel that is out?
Yes. We discussed Brandon Knight trade option.
There's an option?
Yeah. They're not good. They're not pretty.
Is there an option?
It's much like my dating life in college. It's not
ticket.
Pretty.
Here's a ticket. There's the option.
Yeah.
It's not, out of town. It's one way.
It's not pretty, but there are options. We have fun with it. We play a little game of Suns trade Tinder. Do you swipe left or right on the trades? We had fun with that. We'll have another edition coming up this weekend where we talk about Lucky Charms for the draft lottery and the pain of Suns draft lottery pass.
Okay, and this is all people can find this?
SunsPodcast.com, which actually takes you back to Sports360AZ.com.
Okay, SunsPodcast.com. Thank you, Greg.
Of course.
We're going to talk more next week. Thanks for being with us. Jared Nielsen, our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen produces. I'm Brad Sussmat. Enjoy your Wednesday.